You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It's time for Make the Call, a weekly discussion on the top Wisconsin sports stories of the week. You can listen to the show anytime on the free Civic Media app. Download it now on your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. Now, it's time for Make the Call, a Civic Media sports production.
Happy Saturday to you all. It is Make the Call on the Civic Media Radio Network. Jimmy Cuska here with you as we talk about another week in sports here in Wisconsin. And joining me to hang out and talk sports, we have Gray Gunderson. Gray, how's it going?
Good morning, Jimmy. I'm doing pretty well. Yourself?
And we've also got Parker joining us. Parker Olson, thank you for jumping in here as well.
Oh, thank you, Jimmy. Always happy to be talking sports.
So this is our panel today for Make the Call. Later in the show, we will hear from Mike Clemens, our very own, who is currently at the NFL Scouting Combine, which we'll talk about here in just a second. I got some questions. I have thoughts. I have some hot takes, maybe, or not. But Ooh. Mike Clemens is there, and he's going to tell us what's happening at the NFL Scouting Combine. A half hour from now, we're going to hear from Jake Kokorowski of Badger Observer. Wisconsin takes on Washington today in the Battle of the UWs, and that'll be happening on many of these same Civic Media stations. We'll also talk a little bit, we might as well talk about the Scouting Combine with him too, because, you know, that's apparently the big thing this week. It's all I see on Twitter right now is it's all about NFL Scouting Combine. But when we do Make the Call, it is the start of the show. And because it is at 7 a.m. if you're listening live, or if you're listening on the podcast or on the tape delayed version that happens Sunday, well, if you're listening to us in the future, hello from the past, it is the top seven at seven. Top seven sports stories or not sports stories at 7 a.m. on a Saturday morning. Let's start at number seven. And this is the World Baseball Classic, which begins this week. And the question is, are you watching?
I mean, I definitely am. Not like deeply enthralled in it, but once we get into some of those later games, once we get into actual bracket play instead of this pool play stuff, I will be in and I will be very excited to see how Team USA does.
Yeah, me too. Basically, I'll follow Team USA until I accidentally pick up a favorite from elsewhere. You know, it's just kind of same thing you do with the Olympics. You wait until a story comes through and it's like, okay, Claybo's pretty cool. We got to watch the skiing thing and he gets the six gold. So it's going to be something exactly like that last week. But yeah, I'll have it on in the background. I've got a day to myself this weekend. And so, all right, how will I fill it? A little bit of baseball.
You know, I got to go back to the last World Baseball Classic and just the final at bat when you've got Ohtani versus Trout. And just that moment to me just instantly like legitimized this whole thing, because you can't create that kind of tension in regular spring training or even most cases regular season. No. But to have this at a championship game, this at bat at the end of the game, just the two stars of the, you know, in Los Angeles going head to head. I just remember that moment, and that's what makes this event exciting for me. Yes, I'm with you. Probably not going to pay a lot of attention to the pool play, but once you get into the bracketed play and you start seeing some of the matchups of even teammates going head to head, I think that is absolutely fascinating and way, way more interesting than anything that is happening in spring training for the most part at the moment. But we will talk about spring training in like 3 minutes, right? So we'll talk about that coming up here. Let's move up to number six in our top seven at seven. And that is this. We're going to recap the Olympics a little bit here. And the fact that USA Hockey took the gold in both men's and women's hockey. So the question here is, which one got you more excited?
Oh, I mean, the women's have been so good for so long. Like Team USA women hockey has been very good, and I don't know how many golds they've got, but I assume that they've got more than the men, because the men hadn't won a gold since, what was it? Oh yeah, the Miracle on Ice, that long ago when your dad was a kid and was really excited about it. That's how long it's been since the men have won. I think that the men is a really more exciting than the women's.
My dad was 20 years old on the Miracle on Ice, so not a kid.
Sorry.
20 feels like a kid the older you get, though. I'm admitting it. I'm 30 something and 20 already seems a little kiddish to me, but no knock on the kids out there. Honestly, different reasons. It's a mix, because it's the 46 years separating it versus the women who have been on an incredibly hot streak, and a special shout out for the Badgers who contribute to that team. That said, I didn't actually catch the women's. I missed it. I thought I was going to watch it, and I tuned in for a re-air was the first time I got to watch that. The men's, I caught that live, and like getting teeth knocked out, the back and forth was exciting. But at the same time, it ended so quickly. I was cooking breakfast at the time, and I thought, it's over? It's over. I was that guy shouting at the screen. Did that just end? And it did. I missed it.
The magic of hockey, just the sudden victory element of hockey. Very exciting as a broadcaster and as a fan. I'll be honest. I was really, really stoked for the women winning everything because the rivalry with Canada, even though it's been a little one-sided as of late, just the fact that Team USA with all the Badgers and all the Wisconsin connections on the roster, I've been watching them play for the Badgers all year, listening, radio, watching TV, whatever. So seeing all the Wisconsin connections on the women's side, there's men's side connections too, but there were so many more on the women's side that just had me excited as a fan from here in Wisconsin to see all of those. And then seeing the reception they get at the airport on the way back when they come back to Madison, I just thought that was really cool. Everybody from players on the ice too, like even the equipment manager, were all from Wisconsin, which was really cool to see. So number five in our top seven at seven. And this is the question of the day, I think. The NFL Combine is happening right now, in fact. And I got to ask you guys, do you care? Is this important? Is this something that matters to you guys?
I fully recognize that it requires probably about where I'm at in fandom to really care about it. That said, this is what I call the off-season fuel. I heard it said about a year ago, there's no off-season, and you really got to keep track of the schedule. Like the new league year pops up in a week, and that means teams can trade. You really got to be on a little bit of fan life support, but that's exactly where I'm at, man. I'm living on this stuff. Sonny Styles putting in a historic performance. He's a linebacker who's putting in records like Megatron and on the tangibles. Like, it's out there. If you want it, go look for it. I'm not going to force it down your throat. Parker, are you watching it all?
I'm not. I'm sorry. Unless there's like an athlete from a really small school, like if there was a D3 athlete or like somebody from Wisconsin that I for some reason really care about, I would pay attention to them. Other than that, I'm sorry. I just don't care. It doesn't mean anything for my team until the draft. And even the draft, I'm not really big into. So, yeah. No,
it's fair. Like I said, I know what it takes, and it takes a lot, and it's too much
it takes
for most
a sicko
people.
Like you,
I don't blame you. You got it. You named it. But for the Wisconsin fans out there, there are in fact two Badgers out there right now. There wide receiver Vinny Anthony actually arrived yesterday, and it was Mason Reiger speaking with Mike Clemens a couple days ago. I think we'll be hearing from that interview later.
Yep, Clemens will be joining us later in the show. He's actually at the NFL Scouting Combine. So obviously there's some people who are interested in it, maybe not Parker, but there are other people who are interested in it. Mike will give us an update. Yeah, Gray, myself, a little bit. The handful of guys that might be trying to go pro that might have on a practice squad or something. That's the exciting part for me is seeing some guys that I've covered in the past, whether they were in high school or if they were playing in D3, seeing them go to a pro day or even a combine rarely, that to me is exciting. But that's, again, that's just me because, I'm a broadcaster. That's what I do. Number four in our top seven at seven, the Milwaukee Bucks all of a sudden can't lose. So are your hopes up? They've won nine of their, won nine in the last, 10, 11, 12 games. It feels like all of a sudden the light switch has flipped on here.
I mean, I'm not hugely excited about them still. They're still well below 500. I think they're a couple 4 or 5 games back still. And they've got a little bit of work to do to have a real chance of doing something in the postseason, I think. I'm not super excited. If they happen to make a run into the playoffs, though, you better believe I'll watch, even though I will say, I will admit it right then and there, I wasn't a believer. I'm sorry.
Little frosty take from Parker today on the Bucks. I mean, like, hey, I'm all for reasons of hope. I try to be optimistic. Now I'm with you though. It doesn't feel great, even though there's good things happening. There's too little, too late is kind of the phrase that comes to mind. You gotta build that on top of something better, and it's just not happening.
Much like Wisconsin roadways, the Bucks have been roadkill this year. 12-18 on the road, 3 back in the win column right now too for the play-in spot. They're still 11th, which puts them 10th best odds for the NBA draft lottery, which doesn't matter because they got to swap their pick anyway with New Orleans. So, to me, I do like the emergence of someone like Ryan Rollins. I like seeing that they've at least started to figure a couple of things out late in the year. That might give you a little bit of hope that there's something, a little bit of something around the roster they can do with. There are some metrics showing that without Giannis, they can be a little competitive, but yeah, I'm with you guys. My hopes right now are about as low as they can be. I just hope everybody has a good time right now at this point. All right, number three in our top seven at seven. And this is another off the field, off the results off the box score question. But so there's been this big fiasco in the NFL with team report cards, and to the point the NFL had this big, you know, like, hey, we're not making these public, and if the NFLPA does, bad things happen. Well, someone has leaked out to reporters where some of these teams have actually ranked for the third year in a row. The Miami Dolphins, who I think only one of us in this room roots for, ranked number one. So, you know, go Fins. Woo. Yay. The Packers fell several spots. They are down at number 21. So what do you make of the report about the Packers and just the player survey having them ranked so low this year?
I think the fair question for a lot of fans of varying levels, like whether you're a deep fan or not, does this matter? And my answer to that is yes. This is the kind of thing that's important to the Packers that they view as critical to their success. This is just from my armchair perspective that I'm saying these things, but I think a lot of longtime fans will agree the culture of the team is hugely important, and it's how you get things like sustained quarterback position success that no other team has had. You keep some things the same where you can, and the Packers do that, and this doesn't look like that.
I just want to add, I think the big part in the survey that came back that surprised me was just how much the head coach ranking dropped for the Packers. I thought that was surprising.
Matt LaFleur now ranked second to last in the league, specifically in a category titled Respect for Players. What is going on there? I mean, I'm not pulling the alarm bells right now, but we need to address that 100%. And remember, too, this is after a lot of people just left, mostly in the defensive staff, but new team president just came in and a new vice president of player personnel. He just went off down to Miami. He's going to go make the Dolphins a good team. Jimmy, enjoy. I envy you for that. John Eric Sullivan, I think, is a name who we are going to see a lot because he's going to do good things. And I worry that we're going to see what it looks like without him. A smooth transition. If we don't hear anything about him leaving ever again, that's a good thing for Packer fans. And it's not what I expect to happen. Parker, what's your feel with the Packers after a rough report card? They went from 7 to 21.
Yeah, weirdly rough, because I think that we've always kind of thought about how the Packers do a really good job of that kind of stuff, right? Like, it's one of the better organizations, I think, in pro sports. It was really shocking to me to see some of this stuff. And especially, like you said, the Matt LaFleur one. What? That's worrying, frankly. Another thing that caught my eye is, I believe the training room, I think it was, is getting a yep. pretty low grade. I will say, I'm pretty sure I read that they are redoing the training room right now, though. And previously, I think last year, they redid the locker room. That had been getting bad grades as well. Now that it got redone, it's got a good grade there. So it is good to see that the Packers are investing into that kind of stuff and really treating their players how they need to be treated. I mean, these are pro athletes. Got to treat them right, right?
The training room thing doesn't surprise me at all, Gray and Parker. It doesn't surprise me at all because of all the injuries they had this year. I would imagine you'd be pretty pissed off that your training room was
going to get
the low rankings after all the injuries this year.
Also, not to pile on, there was one thing that really surprised me. Again, that team culture is super important. The Packers, one of just, I think it was just three teams. Either way, forgive the quoted number, one of extraordinarily few teams in the league that don't offer their players game day child care. Come on,
that's
y'all.
Bad.
With the cost of ticket prices, I'm going there. You can do that. You should do that. Do it, guys. Make it right.
I mean, they could just set them up next to, like, you know, the broad stand and just, you know, and just have the guy there watch the kids for the game. I don't know. Like, there's got to be a better way.
Pop right outside. Find you a lady who looks about 45, 50 years old, talks like this. Ask her to watch the kids for a minute. She won't even just watch them. She'll take good care of them, teach them all kinds of life lessons.
All you need is that picture of Chris Farley as the lunch lady. And that's the person you need to find at a Packers game to watch your children. You'll be in great hands. Guess what? We've only made it through five in our top seven. We got baseball coming up on the other side of the commercial break because we ran out of time this segment. We got two more to go in our top seven at seven, but they're baseball related. So for baseball fans, stick around. We're going to talk a little bit of spring training and more coming up right after this on Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
We continue along in our top seven at seven. For some reason, we only made it through five topics in the first segment, so we have two left for here in our second segment of the show ahead of talking to Jake Kokorowski of Badger Observer. And then later, Mike Clements gives us an update from the NFL Scouting Combine. But we are at number two in our top seven at seven. And luckily for us, we're talking baseball this whole segment. So let's talk about the new automated ball and strike system in baseball. I am very, very interested in your thoughts. I have a couple of thoughts about it myself, but what do you guys think of this? How much do you think we're going to see this be used, you know, now or even in the future?
I think that the most interesting thing about this to me is that it's going to bring a lot of attention to how it works. Umpires, I honestly think umpires' jobs got a little bit harder now. Because obviously they have a checks and balances right there, right away, right? They're getting fact checked just like that. That's going to make them under the microscope even more than they already were. But now there's something that is within this system that I think is really interesting. The way that ABS works is during spring training, just now, they measured all of the players at a specific time of day, apparently, because apparently you shrink throughout the day. The more you know.
Happens with age, too.
Yeah, that too. So apparently it takes like 17% of your height, and that is where the bottom of the zone is, and then I forget what the top of the zone is. But the point being, it's not exactly like the knee anymore, and that was always kind of the frame of reference. It's not necessarily exactly that. So I think it could be kind of interesting to see. I saw a video the other day of umpire missed, I think, like five calls in the first three innings, and two or three of them were pretty close, like within half an inch. Like, I'll give you that leeway. But a couple other ones were really far. I kind of wonder how much we're going to be looking into that math of how tall these guys are. And I think it'll be interesting to see umpires under the microscope so much.
I'm very curious about that, Parker. Immediately, I'm thinking, are we going to be comparing it in the play-by-play commentary? You know, this guy's strike zone is this much higher off the ground than anybody else's in the MLB. I'm the type to wonder about that sort of thing, because that's just the type of neurotic I am. And it's the kind of stat that I get really interested in. I generally am pro change. If we can update things, bring things into the 21st century, regardless of what sport it is. But baseball, I think this will be a really cool opportunity for some umpires to show how good they are. That's one of the things that really excites me. But frankly, the key aspect for me is, what's the human strategy element here? The two challenges per game, how are they going to be used most effectively? Who's going to screw up? That's going to be one of the best laughs of the season. Who used a challenge too soon? That's going to be an unnecessary conversation at some point. Put that one on the bingo card. It's that kind of stuff that makes it fun for me, and that's what it is. It seems fun.
Gray, you wonder how good this is going to make certain guys look. I wonder how bad this is going to make certain guys look, because I already know there are some umpires. Like the fact that we don't have Angel Hernandez anymore in this.
Aww.
Imagine him in this system. Just how unintentionally hilarious that would be. We still have some guys who obviously struggle. Every time there's a Laz Diaz game for the Brewers, I just know it's going to be not only is going to be a long game, but there's going to be a lot of chirping back and forth between home plate and behind the plate. So I'm with you guys on the aspect of, you know, it helps you get things right. It gives you a little bit of accountability. But on the other hand, I just feel like the more we take out of, having people in charge of things, the more we take out of, the less it kind of feels like baseball. The more it kind of feels like a video game in a way. But then again, we have microchips in footballs now. We have cameras on the top of arenas in basketball that show you to like the millimeter how far you run in a basketball game. There's so much data information. It's an overload of this stuff. I don't know, you know, at what point do we draw a line and say, okay, well, this is fine. We're good with this. I do think, though, that there was some change needed in baseball. Things were getting a little out of hand.
Baseball is well known as like a super big, like, you can get into the weeds with those stats and all kind of the sports science kind of stuff. Like, we're talking watch angle and all that stuff for RPM on the pitches, all that stuff. I think it's kind of interesting now that you might be getting like force fed some of this stuff, rather than before you could kind of stay away from it all. But now, as it's right here, you kind of need to see it all.
I will take those stats, though, over like betting lines and stuff like that.
Yes.
On the flying games, because that stuff to me, it's a whole other topic. But please. I will take whether a pitch was, you know, a quarter of an inch inside of a strike zone over a money line or something in the middle of a game.
That's fair.
Please give me way too many overlays of Paul Skene's pitches overlaid on top of each other. Like, I want six extra of those. Just like you said, Jimmy, don't give me the betting lines on things.
Dude.
And yeah, we could and will not talk about gambling. That's no. The unnecessary statistics, though, my point here is that you don't know what their benefit is until you spot it accidentally. Once you have a huge body of data, you can spot trends you didn't even realize you could look for. So I look forward to the accidental discoveries that come with the wave of analytics.
We have to do a number one in our top seven at seven. I'd love to talk about robot umpires and all that. I could probably do a whole show on it. But I do, just to get to our number one, Brewer spring training is underway, right? We're into spring training. I'm just looking at some of the early results. Is there anything that stood out to you, anything exciting to you so far with the Brewers?
I mean, Tyler Black has been phenomenal the last couple of days. I think that I've read that he's hitting like 2 for 3, essentially. Like, he's batting over 600. He's been absolutely ridiculous. He almost had a cycle the other day. If he can be that, if obviously those are bad standards to hold to, but if he can keep something like that offensively, he's an infielder. Maybe you could stick him into a position that you might need a little bit of help right now.
So yeah, either he's about to become Superman, or what I'm going to look for with Tyler, excited as I am, is like, okay, how long does it last? And when the inevitable decline comes, how does he take it?
Yes.
And what does he turn it into? Does he go into a slump mode, which sometimes happens after you're hot like that? I want to see him try to maintain a little bit of it, almost like we saw Miz do last year, where he's at cruising altitude for way longer than he should be.
I'm just curious to see which guys are, you know, in various stages of progression from like maybe previous injuries. Maybe they're looking for bigger roles. I think a lot of attention is going to be paid to corner infield and obviously starting pitching. Starting pitching is always a concern, but it feels like the Brewers always have like 15 of these guys that roll out, and one or two of them end up being way bigger than we ever expected them to be. So my stress level is very low as far as the Brewers go. Seeing I think they had a walk-off win earlier this week. I thought that was kind of cool, but yeah, it's practice, so I'm not too juiced about it. I was, paying more attention to high school and small college playoffs this week than spring training baseball myself. But that being said, it is baseball. Spring will be here eventually after it snows 3 inches today in southwestern Wisconsin. We have to step aside. Jay Kokorowski of Badger Observer will talk some Badgers hoops, maybe a little scouting combine with us next. We'll have Mike Clemens later in the show from the NFL Scouting Combine as well on Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
It's the bottom of the hour, which means it's time now to talk about the Wisconsin Badgers. And joining us, as always, this week is Jake Kokorowski of Badger Observer and BadgerObserver.com. Jake, it is great to see you, considering that I think we're all still kind of getting our sleep patterns readjusted after the game that goes past midnight earlier this week with the Badgers taking on Oregon. The Big Ten expansion, we knew things like this would happen. They don't happen that often, but boy, it was kind of weird having after dark Wisconsin Badgers hoops, right?
I mean, I've always been one for Pac-12 after dark. That's been my go-to for football for years. Like, I loved staying up and, you know, obviously with young children, waking up at 6 a.m. after being up till 1:30, watching the old Pac-12 after dark games. But yeah, it applied to Wisconsin. Yeah, it's hard to recover even after the copious amounts of pre-workout and caffeine and Diet Pepsi that I consume. And yeah, I mean, it's one of the things that we all have to, unfortunately, I mean, the Pac-12 team, the former Pac-12 teams like Oregon and Washington, USC, UCLA, they all have to go through it where they have to travel out east. And so, granted, I think the Big Ten takes into consideration some of those types of travels right now, but it's bound to happen, especially with these type of sports like basketball, where, hey, guess what? Wisconsin, Wisconsin's going to play at 10 p.m. Out in Oregon. Now, thankfully, there is not something for Washington where it is an afternoon game where we don't have to worry about that. But it was tough to, I will admit, I was watching part of that game from the bed. Very cozy, and obviously it was not a great second half, but it's also, who else is going to stay up to read that at like 12:30, 1 o'clock at night?
Oh, I would, for sure. I mean, that's why I follow Badger Observer. Jake, before we talk about the Washington game today, I just want to go back to the Oregon game for a moment, because it felt a bit like the Ohio State game in a way. It just, the second half, the injury scare that the Badgers had, the vibes kind of fell off in the second half of that game.
I mean, yeah, and it's characteristic of this team where, I feel like it's very much coach speak or cliche, but let's talk about it. you can't have the defense where you allow nearly 71% shooting in the second half. Oregon also made 6-9 from 3-point range. On top of that, they got to the line. When Wisconsin isn't beating the opponents at the charity stripe, that's not a good sign, right? Oregon had more, free throws attempted and made, 20 of 25. Wisconsin only 13 of 16. And obviously they couldn't get, Oregon had 8 blocks, so they dominated the middle. That's been one thing that we've seen from Wisconsin is that they don't, Nolan Winters had a great season so far, averaging nearly double doubles, had a bunch of double doubles, but you haven't really seen anybody else really step up and be an interior presence besides him. And that can get them in trouble. And so then top of that, you can couple that with poor shooting where Wisconsin relies on their threes, and they relied, 45 of their 66 field goal attempts were from 3-point range. And we saw that throughout the game, and they only made 40. When you're making 14 of 45, that's 30%, 31%. You need to have that closer to 35, 40% to have a chance. And that's what leads to a double digit loss against a team they should have beat. And, can also, I think it's a quad 2 loss, if I'm not mistaken. And so now it's an up and down type of volatile type of season. Now they have to try to make sure they rebound. And we know what this team's capable of, right? They can go out and beat the Michigans and the Michigan States and the Illinois. They can also drop the ones to the Oregons. They can also struggle against Grand Ohio State's not a bad program, but they arguably should have taken care of business in Columbus, a week or two ago. So it's with this team is when they're hot, they're hot. When they play good defense, they're good. They can beat anybody in the nation. They could be an Elite Eight-ish type of team, possibly. They can beat the teams that are in the, probably could make it to the Final Four. They could also drop round of 64, maybe round of 32 as well.
Jay Kukurowski of Badger Observer and BadgerObserver.com joining us, talking about the Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball program. The loss didn't really knock them out of where they've been in all the bracketology updates, because you expect that over the course of a Big Ten season, you'll drop a couple of games like this now and then. But at a 7 seed right now, the margin for error is pretty small, I would say, to maybe gain a more favorable seed. So they're not matched up potentially in a second round matchup against a 2 or a 1 seed. And that's the task at hand with Washington, coming up later today, is that, another loss, another couple losses against teams that aren't currently in the bracket project. Ohio State's a bubble team. Oregon's not, I don't think, even in the field right now, as it's laid out. And so, taking care of business, I think, obviously task number one, but we're also running out of games for the Badgers to make up ground if they do drop another game or two like this, because the Big Ten tournament's coming up here in just a couple of weeks.
Right. They have 3 regular season games left. They have Washington later today, 3 p.m. Central time on FS1. Quick promo. I don't know why I said that, but anyways, that's my radio voice for you guys. I'm trying to do my best.
Also radio on Civic Media radio stations.
And also on Civic Media. There we go. Let's work on that next week, because it's also Saturday at 3 p.m. So I will make sure that our listeners get a full on promo on my end from there best radio voice. But anyways,
the Venmo's in the air right now.
Just Venmo's in the air. Sweet. I'll accept Culver's gift cards or Quick Trip gas cards for my travels. But
nice.
Maryland is, Wednesday night, senior night type festivities, and then the regular season finale. If you're looking for a matchup, and Michigan State just upset Purdue, right? You're looking at the fact that could Purdue, if they can pull off that type of upset and West Lafayette. We saw what happened in the beginning of the 2026, when Wisconsin was a double digit loss to Purdue. And then they went on this run that they've been on. So really it's they have that. And then, we'll see just how much I would assume they'd have to win a couple, at least one Big Ten tournament game. If they win more than that, I think that helps. I don't know. If they win the Big Ten tournament somehow, I don't know how much that actually plays a role in the selection committee and just where they decide what the potential seeding could be. But like I said, this team, it's a very dangerous team for anybody trying to fill out a March Madness bracket in terms of, okay, where are they going to go? How are they going to work out? How are they going to work this out? Where are they going to drop the first round, or could they make it, could they get to, Elite Eight matchup? So it's very right now though, looking at you got 3 regular season games and then whatever is going to happen in the Big Ten tournament. And we'll see just where they're at. As of entering this game, You know, as of, let's say, Friday, they were tied for sixth in the Big Ten right now in terms of regular season standings. So, yeah, it'd be, if you're Wisconsin, you want to win out. Obviously, you want to win out. You want to win every game. But that would drastically help their spot, you know, position, because I don't know if like a double. I don't know how much. I don't think you can get into those top four seeds right now.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The ceiling for them this year, you know, sky's the limit, as we've talked about all year, Jake. But just the reliance on three-point shooting, the occasional lapses on defense, things like that, it makes it really hard to project this team. And, you know, what's funny is that they might have the same seed in the Big Ten tournament as the NCAA tournament, because right now they're currently sitting in seventh place, tied for sixth record-wise with UCLA. But, you know, certainly an opportunity for them to move up and, you know, try to avoid maybe a Nebraska or something, you know, if they were in you know, one of those swing games. So there's a lot to be said yet about this Wisconsin Badgers team. And, you know, I wonder, you know, with the injury scare that they had against Oregon, well, it ended up not being a big, huge deal. But, you know, you also look at just how much they rely on certain guys in certain spots. And those guys aren't there. It just feels like things fall apart. I don't say quickly, but it feels like the adjustments take a while to come if they do miss one of their key pieces.
Right. I mean, you talk about Nolan Winter. That's the one that you referenced, you know, and he finished. He actually played 28 minutes, only had 7 points, six rebounds. I mean, six rebounds is still pretty good for him, though. You still want him to get up to the near double-double range. But, you know, he was neutralized offensively. Again, credit to Oregon and the bigs on the inside there. And he was only 1 of 4 from three-point range, too. But you also have, if you're looking for the big three in terms of this team, it's obviously Nick Boyd and John Blackwell and Nolan Winter. And Nick Boyd, you know, after having a great game against Iowa, near triple double, only shoots 4-12 from the field in 1 of 4 from 3-point range with 11 points. Granted, he had 7 assists to only, you know, he had 2 turnovers too, but still he's dishing the ball out. You know, Blackwell stepped up, and even his shooting, you know, 6 of 18 from deep, and all of his shots were, you know, all of his made field goals, I should say, were from 3-point range. So there's a lot that goes in. You know, you need to have someone like an Austin Rapp show up, or an Andrew Rohde, or Braden Carrington. And they all had, looking at them, you know, looked like all of them had 8 points apiece. But you need those big three, but you need someone else to step up even further for some double digit points or key points off the bench. And, you know, we'll see just, you know, how the injury of, just how everything goes with like Jack Janicki and just how long he'll be out, who's a, you know, key defensive presence. And he's had a spark on the defensive end. That also plays a role.
Jay Kokorowski, a Badger Observer. I do want to wrap up our segment talking a little bit outside of basketball. And that's because, you know, right now we've got Mike Clemens out at the NFL Scouting Combine, and we've got some Wisconsin representation there. So I know that there's certain people who might put a lot of stock into what happens at the combine. I think it's a great way to just to kind of get everybody in a spot. And it's always fun to compare numbers. It's kind of a nerdy event, but, you know, we're nerds here. We're all big fans of sports. I'm just curious about anything we should be looking for from the results of the NFL Scouting Combine this week as it relates to Wisconsin guys.
I mean, you're looking at first and foremost, you know, someone like a Mason Reiger, who, judging by all the stuff we saw on Thursday, like a 4.7, 9.40-ish in that range. If I'm seeing the other reports right, I apologize for not giving the proper credit on this, but it looked like 40 inches on like the vertical jump, which is insane for a defensive lineman, edge rusher. And also, I think it was like, if I saw correctly, reportedly a 10.5 broad jump. And that's, I mean, again, that's a really good size for, you know, what you're looking for from a, you know, from a defensive player. And then obviously coming up is going to be Vinny Anthony, who I believe is going Saturday today. You know, those two are the big names to watch. Reiger, you know, great comeback story. I think that's the big thing for, if you see correctly, it's, you know, this is a player that really, you know, stepped up and he made the most. Yeah, his numbers weren't like standout-ish, like double-digit sacks, but he had a bunch of pressures, was part of the heart of the defense and all that stuff. So for me, you know, Reiger is, I think he's put himself with the postseason in really good terms of just how, you know, in good shape heading into, you know, pro day is coming up for Wisconsin in a week. You know, I think he's put himself in a really good position so far. So, and then we'll see what Vinny Anthony can do coming up too.
Last thing before we let you go, just a quick peek at Badger Observer, or a couple other features up. If you're not a basketball person, you're looking at football. I found the piece on how the transfer process works for incoming players. I found that to be fascinating because, you know, it's not like the NFL where it's just, you know, hey, we got to buy a house and, you know, relocate everything. With college, there's transcripts and there's, you know, all the things that go with being a student athlete and getting enrolled in classes and all that stuff. I find that part of it I love the behind the scenes look at these things, Jake. So that's one of the many features that you've got up. Found that one particularly enjoyable, but we are actually out of time, so I can't even ask you a question about it. But I do want to say this. I'm going to give you a plug for a story I found enjoyable, so that's always good, right? Yeah. But I will say this, BadgerObserver.com is where you can find stories like that and more, including breakdowns of every basketball game that has been happening, including today's Washington game. I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about next week following the game later today. Jake, thanks for your time. As always, it's fun to talk Badgers. And boy, but you know what? Next month for March Madness already.
Exactly. March Madness, spring football, spring volleyball, a lot more coming. Badger Observer will be there for y'all. Have a great weekend, y'all. Enjoy the weather if you can.
I'm enjoying the forecast today because as I'm getting ready to head out to youth basketball in Richland Center, I see 3 inches of snow in the forecast. Boy, winter just won't look so good. Jake, thank you. And when we return, we're going to get an update. We just talked about the NFL Scouting Combine a bit. We're going to get an update from Mike Clemens, who is at the NFL Scouting Combine, and he'll give us a rundown of everything happening in the wide world of sports next here on Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Make the Call on Civic Media.
One final time here on Make the Call, part of the Civic Media Radio Network. Mike Clemens standing by with an update from the NFL Scouting Combine. We'll get to him in a second. But speaking of the Scouting Combine, Jimmy Kusky here, welcoming Gray and Parker back in here real quick before we wrap the show. I got to ask you guys, if you were to just imagine in an alternate universe, you're a prospect, you're going to be in the NFL someday. Which event do you think would be your best event at the NFL Scouting Combine, guys?
My best? Oh, gosh. I don't think I'd particularly perform. I'd perform like a kicker. Let's put it that way. At best, I'd perform in the kicker range and not those weirdly ripped benching 400-pound kickers that come along now and again. I think I'm going to pick the 40-yard dash simply because you got Rich Eisen sitting there every year until recently doing it in a suit. So there's an orange to compare my apple to that I'm not too worried about there.
So no Sebastian Janikowski for you. Got it.
No,
got it.
No. Seabass.
All right. All right. Parker, how about you?
What am I going to do best in? Oh, man. I don't know if there's anything that I would do well in. I can tell you that much.
Think of yourself as in your peak era of athleticism.
My peak era of athleticism. Oh, well, I would have been.
I just thought of a nickname for you. 12. Parker Vertical Olson.
Parker. Oh, yeah. You think I got a good vert in here? You think this guy can jump?
It's a feasible nickname.
You know,
if that's
what
you got, it's what you got.
Hey, I'd be interested. I'm down to do a vertical jump. I could do that. Let's see what happens.
So I obviously these days, old, out of shape, whatever. My vertical is about a sheet of paper, but as a high schooler, I'm all 5'10" and change. So you're not thinking, okay, you're looking at this scrawny 150-pound kid from a trailer park in northern Wisconsin. He's not going to be able to dunk, right? Well, in high school, I could dunk, believe it or not. Wow. It wasn't like I was throwing down the tomahawks or anything like that, but I could put the ball through and grab the rim, right? So I feel like the vertical would have been my best at the peak of my athleticism. But I'll be honest with you, if I'm at an NFL combine, it means the NFL has fallen to like 80th in popularity, somewhere behind like cornhole and lawn darts in terms of sport popularity.
Great
if
sports.
I'm being considered a pro in that sport. So those are sports.
Yeah, they're great sports.
They keep score.
They're great. They're great. They're awesome. Yeah. Don't diss on cornhole.
All sports are great sports.
Exactly.
All
right.
Gray, Parker, we're out of time. We got to get out of the way for Mike Clemens. He's coming up right now with that NFL Scouting Combine update. You've been listening to Make the Call here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Knicks clobber the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. It wasn't even close. The New York Knicks beat the Milwaukee Bucks at Fiserv Forum, 127-98. The Knicks, Jalen Brunson with 27 points. Doc Rivers says the Knicks arrived in Milwaukee with an attitude after a frustrating 15-point loss to the Cavaliers on Tuesday night.
You know, you knew before the game they had 2 days off. They got, you know, as they called it, they got punked in Cleveland. That's their words, not mine. And you knew they were going to come in with the physicality. We talked about it this morning. I told them over and over, this game is going to be played at a different level of intensity. I just didn't think we mattered tonight.
The Bucks head to Chicago to play the Bulls 2:30 tomorrow afternoon. Then Monday night, they host the Boston Celtics. Bucks guard Ryan Rollins.
At the end of the day, it's one game, so he's got to move on to the next one and get ready for Sunday. And Sunday and Monday, and start with Sunday, get that one, and get Monday.
Baseball, the Brewers with a win 5-2 over the Chicago White Sox in Cactus League action. Pitcher Brandon Sproat making his first appearance in a Milwaukee uniform. Tyler Black had a good week at the plate. A couple of home runs on Thursday. He nearly hit for the cycle. Black was asked if he's been seeing the ball better now at the plate.
Yeah, I think so. Just swing decisions and everything. And for me, like, I've always had naturally good swing decisions. So trying to kind of use those swing decisions to do as much damage as I can. So instead of hunting a certain zone, or I'm going to hunt this zone, that maybe I'll be successful more off this guy. So it kind of goes into that.
NFL. The Packers have a new coach to run their special teams. He's 39-year-old Cam Accord, a special teams assistant for the New York Giants. And before that, a special teams coordinator for the New England Patriots under Bill Belichick, known for his expertise in coverage and the kicking game. Accord replacing Rich Bisaccia, who stepped down last week after 4 years in Green Bay. Now, we've been reporting all week here from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, where all 32 teams have been interviewing and watching the workouts of 319 college football players, all hoping to get picked in the draft this April. Now, the Packers will not have a pick in the first round. They gave that up in next year's first-round pick for defensive end Micah Parsons in that huge trade with the Cowboys. Parsons now recovering from that torn ACL. But the Packers feel with the players they'll be getting back, like tight end Tucker Kraft, right tackle Zach Tom, defensive lineman Devontae Wyatt, and a team with other players like Josh Jacobs and Jordan Love, they can still be a contender next season. Is that the plan? I asked Packers GM Brian Gutekunst.
Yeah, that's, I mean, our 2026 will be defined mostly by that, right? The guys that we are, that are already here, and what they do to get better and better our football team. And I'm excited about that because I really do like the group of guys we have in that locker room. So there's some guys that are really, you know, they're coming into the best years of their career. You know, they've got a lot of experience under their belt now. We're a seasoned team. And I think right now what we have to do is we have to be able to get in those moments that we've struggled with the last 2 years and finish them off. And I'm excited about that.
Nearly half of the Packers coaching staff is now with the Miami Dolphins. First, they hired Brian Gutekunst's right-hand man, John Eric Sullivan, as the new general manager in Miami, who may be going after Packers backup quarterback Malik Willis in free agency in a couple of weeks.
Very happy for Malik on a personal level, the situation that he's put himself in. Malik's a very, very good kid. It's a testament to him and how he played and the opportunities that he got. As it pertains to the Miami Dolphins, listen, I think I'd be lying to you. Any team that is potentially in a needy quarterback situation, if they tell you they're not talking about Malik Willis, that would be a lie. Who knows? We have so many factors at play. We got a lot of decisions to make as we move through the next couple weeks. But I wish Malik the best. A lot of like for the human being. He's a great kid.
Sullivan hired Packers defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley as the Dolphins' new head coach. Hafley then brought most of his Green Bay staff with him to Miami, and he revealed that he and Sullivan had this plan in the works for some time in Green Bay.
You know, Sully and I have had a lot of really good conversations about that, you know, between free agency, the draft, and the good pieces that we have right now. You know, the whole goal is to build a really strong foundation, and we have a shared vision for that. You know, I've kind of noted that. It's one of the reasons that I wanted to come here with the relationship that I have with him. And in us talking really over the last 2 years of what it will look like. And that would be the best way that I can describe it. You know, having a chance to kind of really build a strong foundation together with a shared vision. Some could look at it in certain ways. I look at it as really exciting.
That's the new Dolphins head coach, Jeff Hafley. In women's hockey, the Badgers shut out Bemidji State last night, 7-0 in Madison. In game one of the WCHA playoffs, Wisconsin got back five of their gold medal players returning from the Olympics in time for the game. Game two coming up later on this afternoon. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.